Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Kansas and former Hanville running back Puka Williams says he's met with the Saints this week. His pro day went well. That sparked some oohs and some ahs. And Puka, I watched him in high school at Hanville, and he's got some special qualities. I know he didn't have quite the numbers that he wanted to at Kansas, but again, consider the program. We welcome in now Nick Saltafamaggio, now the head coach at Holy Cross. First off, Nick, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. It's good to hear you again.
Yeah,
everything's well.
That's good. Everything's good on your end. Everything's good for me as well. So you coached Puka at Hanville High School. What's he like? Which is for Saints fans that are following the Saints that might have interest in Puka at some point in the draft.
Well, I remember telling him, you know, and you saw him play a bunch in high school, but I remember telling him that he reminded me a whole lot of Darren Sproles, you know, and then obviously as Alvin Kamara. He's not as big as Alvin Kamara is, but, you know, kind of a similar football game, and that, you know, he does a lot of things well, and for a guy his size is deceptively, you know, strong running the ball inside, you know, C-gap to C-gap. So, but, man, I'd love to see him be a New Orleans Saint. I mean, he's a guy that can return punts, can return kicks. You know, he's great catching the ball out of the backfield, runs tremendous routes, and then obviously has big-time top-end speed. So, you know, he's a total package.
Did you get excited when you heard the news that he did speak with the Saints? Only because, and you got to figure, Sean Payton and that creative offensive staff's going to, if they do end up getting him, they're going to have all kinds of little neat ways to get him the ball in space, in particular where he would operate really well.
Yeah, I think so, Christian. And, you know, if Drew Brees retires, it'll give me another favorite Saint. Puka Williams would be my favorite Saint automatically. So it would be great to see him become a member of the Saints, but it's just going to be great to see him be another in a long line of Hanville Tigers that have gone on to have really good NFL careers. You know, obviously LaRon Landry comes to mind right away, but then, you know, you can think about Alfred Blue, you think about Darius Reynard. I mean, they have had a list of Hanville athletes, football players that have gone on to have really good NFL careers. And, you know, and I just think that when Puka's name's called, and I'm sure it will be called, he's going to have an opportunity to have a terrific NFL career.
What's his character like? I know the Saints place a big emphasis on that.
Well, I said this all along, and what's funny is I've gotten some phone calls from NFL teams. They ask you to stay quiet on that, so I will. But I've gotten some phone calls from NFL teams as recently as Wednesday of this week inquiring about how he is as a person. And I tell them all the same exact thing. He was Mr. Football in the state of Louisiana, and you would never have known that in our locker room, not at any moment. And you would never have known it if you came out on the practice field or you came into our weight room. He worked as hard as anybody I have ever been around. He practiced hurt. He lifted weights. You know, in a day and age where you got kids, oh, I can't lift today, coach, I got a baseball game tonight. Oh, I can't lift today, coach, I got a track meet tonight. Puka Williams would lift and play, you know, a football game later that evening and lift hard. And then even in our locker room, he never walked around like he was the guy. And it was funny because everybody knew he was the guy, but you never knew that. And, you know, we had a running back after him named Darrell Evans, and Puka was a great mentor to him. Darrell had gotten hurt his sophomore year, and Puka was a great mentor to him. And also Jaquan Jackson, who probably a year from now will have his name called, you know, he's a receiver at Tulane and a very, very good receiver at Tulane. You would never know that Puka was the star he was in our locker room. And, you know, even in the hallway at school, he was a humble kid. You know, really, he put us – our run to the state championship game is something I will never, ever forget for as long as I live. If there is ever such a thing as a guy putting a football team on his back and carrying them, Puka Williams did that. And, you know, I tell you, Christian, just – there isn't anything that I can say negative about him ever. He really is a humble kid, a very, very hard worker. And from a kid that came, you know, from kind of some, you know, economic background that was great. You'd never know that, you know, he carried himself with great dignity. And I think the reward that's coming his way in a couple of months is very, very well deserved.
Where do you think he ends up getting drafted? Like, do you think he's a mid-round guy?
Yeah, I think a couple things, will go against him. One, you know, of course, I'm speaking here. I'm going to be opinionated on this. I'm not a big fan of the opt-out. You know, I'm just not. You sign a year scholarship, and I'm one of those old-school guys, buddy. I was born in 1959. I think you honor your commitment. So I think some of those guys that opted out, unless they're just unbelievably top-end talent, I think, pro teams are going to look at that. You know, when the going gets tough, does the tough guy get going? I think his size is something that will be, more of a second-day type draft pick guy. But, you look at a guy like the Saints have in Dante Harris. Puka has a very, very similar skill set to that, although Puka is a true running back. I mean, that's what he does. That's where he's going to make his mark. So, I think that with Puka, 2 years of college football and really productive years. I mean, he went over 2,000 yards rushing at Kansas, and had another almost 600 yards receiving. So in his 2 years at Kansas, he was close to 3,000 yards of total offense. So he was extremely productive at Kansas. But the NFL obviously way better than I do. I'm a high school guy. It's going to be the team that sees his immediate need as to where he gets drafted. I would like to think that he's a second-day guy. You know, I'd love to think he was a first-day guy because that means he'd be a first-round draft pick. But, I think he's a second-day talent. But I do think his upside as a pro football player is going to be astronomical.
Yeah, Sean Payton talks about having visions for players. And I think the vision would be clear in New Orleans. And I think that's those are the kind of teams – the teams like Kansas City, right, with really good offensive minds.
Right.
I think that's where you got to look at and say that's a likely landing spot. Look, even in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, these guys that Sean McVay in Los Angeles, these guys that have really good offensive minds, I think would have a clearer vision for a guy like Puka and know where to use him and how to use him as a specialty guy. You said he's about what, 5'7", 5'8"?
He's probably about 5'8", but about 170, 175 pounds. But that is, Christian, I'm telling you, I've never seen a guy that size just run them over. And, I'll always remember this, for a lot of reasons, but his football IQ is astronomical. We're playing in the state semifinals at Acadiana, and I had already decided that before we flipped the coin in overtime that we were going to go for two. We weren't going to play a long, double, triple overtime game. So Acadiana wins the toss. I'm sorry, we win the toss. We're going to play defense first. Acadiana scores on their overtime possession and kicks the extra point. Well, the first play from scrimmage of our offensive snap, we score. So Mike Silva, who was our offensive coordinator, we really didn't have enough time to discuss the play we were going to run. We knew it was going to go to Puka, but we didn't have an opportunity to discuss exactly what we were going to do. So we didn't have a timeout. I used a timeout on defense, and we had a little bit of a break because it was a TV game. Well, long story short, we go out, we're in the wrong formation. And Jaquan turns to tell Puka, man, we're in the wrong formation. And Puka says, this is pre-snap now, Christian. It doesn't matter. I'm going to cut it back on these guys. Well, sure enough, we run toss into the formation. It's defended. Puka, we're going to the left. Puka puts his foot in the ground, cuts all the way back across the field to the right. And then he almost pauses like he's going to throw the ball. And when he pauses to do that, Acadiana's defense chopped their feet. And when they chopped their feet, he put his foot in the ground and went right into the end zone. And it was just pure football instinct, pure football IQ on a chart that is way beyond his years. And I think when the NFL guys get a hold of him and realize how, you know, obviously he's gifted athletically. There's no denying that. But when they see how smart he is as a football player, there will be multiple things that they can do with him because he picks the game of football up so quickly. His first down as a varsity football player at Hornville, we were playing Destrehan, and we lost the starting cornerback, and I had to put Puka in as a ninth grader. And who does he play against? Justin Jefferson. So his very first play as a high school football player, he was in man coverage because he didn't know any of the coverages. So I just, you know, it was kind of that, hey, Pook, you get out there. You got that dude. All right, that dude.
Playing covered. Cat defense. Guard that
That's
cat.
That's exactly right. You got that cat. That's exactly right. And who was that cat? Justin Jefferson. So that tells you the type of talent that he has played against. Yeah, obviously, in the River Parishes, Hollandale, Destrehan have had great players. So I even think from that standpoint, because of the schedule we played at Hornville and the teams he was able to play against, players that he was able to play against, he won't be awed when he gets into a camp. You know, and his cousin is Amik Robinson, who played at Thibodeau, and now I believe he's with the Raiders. You know, when you're at Hornville, those guys are always around. You know, the Landry brothers and the Bird, you know, and the Birds and you know, the just forever, like I said, Alfred Blue and you know, Darius Reynard, and even Dr. Lumar, the principal there, you know, has a lot of friends who are college coaches or NFL players. And so Puka has always been around those guys. So he's not one of those guys that are going to get into an NFL camp and it's going to overwhelm him. He's going to be ready to go the minute he puts on whatever NFL uniform he puts on.
Nick Saltofimaggio, head football coach at Holy Cross, formerly of Hanville High School, where Puka Williams was the star running back and Mr. Football in the state of Louisiana. And Puka saying earlier this week that he has met with the Saints and said it went well, and who knows where he might end up across the NFL, whether it's in New Orleans or somewhere. Coach, you mentioned, first of all, how long have you been coaching high school football?
I'm going into my 40th year, buddy, this year.
Wow. Okay, so 40 years. At what point did NFL teams start calling high school coaches to get intel on players? Do you remember that, when that started?
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I got a phone call was when I was in Georgia with Zach Mettenberger. I had gotten a phone call. Yep. When he was at LSU, I had actually already moved back to Louisiana. I was at East Jefferson at the time. I think that those guys, I would assume, Christian, that different teams do things a little differently. I know all of them, you know this more so than I, all of them employ kind of investigative people on the side to, you know, to find out the character of everybody. You're talking about giving guys millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they need to know if they can handle that. And so I would imagine that has been a practice that has been in play once the salaries started to get as extreme as they are now. And, you know, like I said, I've had multiple phone calls, one as recently as Wednesday, from NFL teams about Puka. So, you know, I know when you get those kind of phone calls, there's obviously very serious interest in drafting him.
You know what one NFL agent told me about one of his clients is that one in particular, one NFL team went all the way back to his fifth grade math teacher just to get some intel.
Right. I would absolutely believe it. You know, and I even give them names of people that are still at Hornville. You know, Mr. Nice Kello is very influential in his life academically. And, you know, they ask me who else can they call. And she's always the first name that rolls off my tongue when it comes to Hornville football players when I was there because she was such an influence in our program. So I'm sure she's gotten phone calls. I don't think I'm the only person from Hornville, you know, when I was at Hornville, obviously, that they're calling about Pook. I think that they do a very, very thorough background check on all the guys that are on their draft board.
Shifting gears a little bit, Holy Cross football. Coach, I know you did not have the year you wanted to, and I know you're a competitive guy, and it's probably eating at you pretty good, I'm sure. Looking forward to the fall.
Right. I don't sleep much, buddy, I can tell you that. You know, it's just Holy Cross is my alma mater, and, you know, it took that school to get me away from Hornville. Hornville will always be just such a huge and wonderful part of my life, and I miss them day. I miss everyone over there every single day from Dr. Ortling all the way down. But, you know, at Holy Cross, it's a challenge. You know, we're in a very, very, very difficult district, you know. And right now our program kind of is in a position where we have to make up some headway. We got to find ways, you know, to compete with guys who just have spectacular football players in their programs, and the Brother Martins and Rummels and Curtis and Jesuits of the world, Shaw. I mean, it goes on and on and on. There's never a day off in this district. And then really in Division I football, where, you know, arguably, you know, I don't know if it's arguably, I think most people would agree that Catholic High is the best football team in the state of Louisiana every single year. And so we have our work cut out for us. We got some really, really good young football players in our program right now. Our big thing is we got to keep them in school, keep them Holy Cross Tigers all the way through. And, you know, just kind of find our identity. You know, it's all, you know, our weight program has to get better. You know, I have to get better. Our assistants have to get better. Our players have to get better because we are chasing monsters. I mean, we are chasing monsters in this district. But I think Holy Cross has an opportunity to be great. It's been a long time. I don't think teams stay on top, nor do they stay on the bottom for forever. For us, it's a big, you know, idea of consistency. You know, I'm the 11th head coach at Holy Cross in the last 36 years. I'm the fourth in the last 5 years. So that's a huge, huge part of where we are as far as consistency of program. But it is a special school for me. It's a place I love dearly. I've always loved it. You know, my dad's a 56 graduate. My brothers all went there. My nephew, who pitches at Nicholls State, was on the mound against LSU. And, you know, he told me the other day when I talked to him after he threw against LSU, how much playing for Holy Cross prepared him for that moment in Alex Box. So I think those are things that, you know, for me personally, it was the draw of my alma mater to get me to go there. But I know in football, I know what I'm up against. It's daily. You know, I told my dad I didn't forget how to coach. You know, it may have looked like that this year, but I didn't forget how to coach. You know, and it's going to take some time. It's not an easy fix at all, battling the guys we battle. And you know, you know, as much as you're an NFL guy, you have been a long-time prep football fan. That district, every single week is just a monster of a district. And it's fun to be in, though. Don't get me. It'd be a whole lot more fun if we were winning, but it is fun to be in that environment week in and week out.
It's the SEC of Louisiana high school football. I mean, it really is.
Oh, no, yeah, no doubt. And then when you get through it, you got the Catholic Bears waiting on you. You know, so you get an opportunity. I don't know how many. There are many people that wouldn't play Rummel and Curtis, you know, in a decade. In our district, we probably have to play them twice to get the Catholic High. So it is a battle, but it's well a battle worth fighting for me.
Nick Saltzfamaggio, head football coach at Holy Cross High School. Coach, when things get back to normal, hopefully they will be by the fall, I look forward to checking out the Holy Cross Tigers and seeing you and just watching some high school football. You can rest assured I'll be there for a game or two, and I certainly look forward to talking to your football team if you guys will have me for your rallies and your quarterback clubs, et cetera.
Matt, you are always welcome, my friend. It's so good to hear your voice again. You don't know. You and I have talked personally aside, just how proud I am of you and, you know, where we are as a friendship. And, you know, it's always a pleasure, buddy. And I'm always a huge Christian Garrick fan, and you are always welcome at Holy Cross.
Thank you so much, Coach. Appreciate that. And thanks for joining me on short notice, man. Good stuff on Puka. You know him best.
You got it, buddy. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.